What's going on, everybody? This is the I Am Pitts podcast, and this is your host, Dexter Pitts, otherwise known as DP or Dex. All right, so this is a special episode. No need for a disclaimer on this one. This episode here is for all of my fellow veterans and military service members. And if you're not, and if you know a veteran, you know somebody that's served, somebody that's receiving VA disability, listen to this episode and tell them to tune in and pass it along, because hopefully they get something out of this as well. So, 16 years ago, January 2nd, 2005, Abu Ghraib, Iraq, on the side of a road, on the side of Route Huskies, my life changed forever that night when an IED consisting of 2155 shells exploded under my vehicle. Now, I told you all about this in my first podcast. But what I haven't really told people is the effects of this on my life 16 years later and what I'm left with. So it's been a long time. I haven't been back to Iraq in that almost 2 decades. But yet Iraq is still with me most nights. When I close my eyes to go to sleep, or if I see something, it triggers something in my mind and it reminds me of that year in 2004 and 2005, being over in the sandbox. And the thing that gets me sometimes still is the dreams. When I close my eyes at night sometimes, I realize that it takes me a minute to realize that I'm home in the United States. But when I start to drift off and dream, I'm back there sometimes. And it's been like that for 16 years. And I've always had these two dreams that still haunt me, that still follow me. Let me paint a picture for you. Yeah, so the IED that destroyed my vehicle had just went off. And I had been thrown from the vehicle and ejected. I'm laying on the ground. The pain is real. The fear is real. And everybody around me is dead. All my buddies are dead. I'm calling out to everybody. Build, Pint, Lieutenant DeMarco. Anybody, please, somebody. I can't move and I'm laying on the ground. I'm badly injured. And there's nobody coming to my help. There's no radio for me to call. I can't find my rifle. And even if I could find my rifle, there's nothing I could do with it because I am completely disabled. And I'm just laying on the ground, helpless. And then, off in the distance, you hear a loud, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And the voices that shouting Allah Akbar start to get closer and closer to me. And then they come into my view, and there's a group of insurgents standing before me, shouting Allah Akbar, giving praise to their God for the Americans they just killed. And they just hit their payday. There's still one American left alive. One young black PFC, Dexter Pitts, still alive, while everybody else is dead and passed on. And they key in on me. And I hear somebody say, in broken English, in an Arabic accent, grab him! And they move in on me. And they grab me and snatch me up and start dragging me away. And I'm shouting, yelling, kicking and screaming, asking for somebody to help me, but there is nobody to help me. No matter how loud I scream or how hard I try to fight, the pain surging through my body, and I know I'm about to die. And right before they get ready to toss me in this truck, I wake up from my dream. There's also another dream I have that reoccurs from time to time. We're sitting in our convoy in our up-armored Humvees on Route Forest Green. See, Route Forest Green was a bad place for us in Abu Ghraib. That's where we encountered some of our first contact on our deployment. We're sitting on Route Forest Green in a four Humvee convoy. And the next thing you know, I open my eyes and everybody around me is frozen. Nobody's moving. Everybody has their Wally X and Oakley shades on. Everybody's just staring forward. And I look out ahead of the convoy. There's a large crowd of insurgents, angry insurgents, carrying RPGs, AK-47s. They're yelling, shouting, and screaming, "Allah Akbar, kill the Americans." And I panic. And I look over at my sergeant. "Sarge, they're coming. They're coming. Come on, we got to go. Let's go. We got to fight. Let's do something." Nobody moves. I get out of my Humvee. I run to the other Humvees, look at them. "Hey, come on, y'all. What's going on?" Everybody's just sitting there, stone-faced, not moving, wearing their shades. Nobody's reacting. I don't know what's going on. And I look up. The crowd of angry insurgents is getting closer and closer and closer. And there's nothing I can do. I take my rifle. I point it at them. I pull the trigger on my M4. Click. Nothing. "Allah Akbar! Sarge, wake up! Come on, man! What are y'all doing?" Nobody's moving. I climb up into the nearest 50 cal. I pull the charging handle, and I depress the butterfly trigger on the 50 cal to start sending some death their way. Nothing. The crowd of angry insurgents gets in closer and closer and closer. And the next thing you know, they snatch me up. Everybody's still sitting there in the Humvees, wearing their shades, rifles in their lap, nobody moving. And just like in the first dream, they snatch me up and they start to carry me off. Right before they put me in the truck, I wake up. See, 16 years I've had these dreams. You know, some years have been better than others, but especially the last year, 2 years of my life, I've started to experience a lot more issues. And now, a lot of people don't know my injuries from when I got hurt in Iraq. You know, the physical injuries, when I got blown up, my left arm was completely shattered. I had initially 12 surgeries and had an additional surgery, which was the 13th surgery a couple years ago to take a metal rod out of my arm, a metal plate. But, you know, I still have a metal rod in my arm, pins and screws on my elbow. And if you ever see me in real life walking, you notice there's something different about the way DP walks. It's a weird gait because my left arm is pretty much stuck in a 90-degree angle, and there's nothing I can do about it. I remember my buddies in the med hold company, when I first got back from Iraq, it was getting put out the army, they called me T-Rex Dex. You know, because of my T-Rex arm, you know, because of the way my arm awkwardly hangs. And there's a young girl on our PD, her name's Sharpie. She's awesome officer. Yeah, she was looking at me one day awkward, and I was like, "What's up?" She was like, "Yo, hey, Dex, what's wrong with your arm? Why you carry your arm like that?" And she had no clue, you know, that I had been hurt in Iraq. Most people don't. Now, it's not something I talk about all the time, but, you know, you could look at me and tell there's something different with my stance and my walk. That's all from the IED. But, you know, not only that, I had my back and hips blown out of alignment. I get headaches all the time. I mean, I had my teeth, my molars were blown out of my mouth pretty much. What else was wrong? Man, I took a real bad hit to the head. I got a small dent in the left side of my head. You know, I went through all this therapy at Walter Reed and physical therapy. Man, and then I finally get my time comes to get out the Army. And I remember hearing about the VA and how horrible the VA was. And, oh, man, you know, they're not going to do anything good for you. And I believe that because when I was in Walter Reed, I remember there was a guy that was getting ready to get out. And he had lost his leg to an IED. He told me his first rating from the VA in 2005 was they gave this man 50%. 50% for a lost leg. I was like, yo, that's insane, man. Like, how do you get, you know, you determine the value of somebody's leg at 50%. Now, of course, he said he went back and fought it and he got 100%. You know, that's what you deserve when you put your life on the line for our country. You deserve to be compensated. Although there's never an amount of money that the government can give you to repay you for what you lose when you go to combat, when you go to war. And so, you know, I remember when I initially got my VA rating, I was absolutely shocked because I didn't think I was going to get anything. You know, the Army fully retired me because the Army declared me 50% disabled. So I have the blue ID card. I get TRICARE and I can go on Fort Knox. I get all these military, you know, retired benefits from the military, from the Army. Well, I got my VA rating and I was absolutely shocked when I saw it. It's at 80%. And initially I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, what am I going to do? 80%. I didn't expect that. And you know what's weird? Like a lot of veterans I know that really served and went to combat and they experienced things and see things and do things. A lot of them think, I don't deserve this. There's somebody worse off than me. I had and still have the same mentality. And that is why for the last 16 years, I've never thought about going back to the VA to get an increase because I was good. That 100%, 90%, that's for those other guys that really need it. See, I'm not gonna say I'm better than them, but I'm better than most veterans. I'm better off. I still have all my limbs. I have some issues, but I've seen a lot of guys in way worse shape than me. And for years, I've always tried to be that guy that was, hey, I'm good. I'm okay. You know, but it was when I initially came back from Iraq, my mother, my God-fearing mother, God rest her soul, and she realized that her baby boy was no longer her baby boy. Something had changed. And she told me that for years. I never saw it. I never believed it. I believed I was still the same person. Yeah, I've been through some things. My thinking changed a few ways, but I still thought I was the same Dexter Pitts that graduated from North Hardin in 2003 and deployed with the 10th Mountain Division to Iraq in 2004. I thought I was that same young man. But you know, two divorces later, and now that I'm remarried on my third marriage, by the time I was 29, my third marriage. And my wife, she's an angel. Christina, I love you. Thank you for everything and all your support, girl. She's given me two children. But the one thing I remember is when I initially found out that we were pregnant, I was so stressed out and worried that I wasn't going to be able to be a good father. And the one thing that stands out is my buddy Marcus. He told me that when you have your first child, Dexter, you are going to feel love like you have never felt it before. And so there we are, August 29th in the hospital here. My daughter, or my wife is giving birth to our daughter, Brooklyn. And I remember when the moment she popped out, cut the umbilical cord and the nurse wrapped her up and gave her to me, I didn't feel anything. I was waiting for this loving feeling to come that everybody says you have when you hold your child. I was waiting for that feeling of love and it never came. I just sat here holding this child that I didn't have any attachment to this little thing. Knew nothing of this child. It was just the most bizarre thing. And I started sitting wondering, what is wrong with me, man? How can I not love my own child? I knew I cared about this little girl. It wasn't enough to just care. I wanted to feel this love, man. I wanted to feel that love, and I didn't feel anything. I mean, it was the same way with my wife, my wife now, after we initially got married. I knew I loved her, but I just didn't feel love. It's like, with me, it's a switch that it flickers on and off at time to time. It's like my emotions have been on autopilot for a lot of the past few years. But every once in a while, that love switch will flip on, and I get a flood of emotions like love, like the butterflies or whatever you get in your stomach. Like you just feel the love for somebody. Like I say, since I've gotten hurt, it's always been, I know I love them. I can feel the love I have for them. Big difference. And well, the same thing with my son happened. And when he was born, February 23rd of 2016, the same feeling. And I didn't think anything of it. I'm just, hey, you know, this is just me. This is just who I am. This is how I am. And my wife knows. My wife knows I care and that I would do anything for my family to take care of them and provide as I have. You know, but I didn't want to just be a provider. I didn't just want to be that husband and that father that pays the bills. I wanted to be the fun dad, the awesome dad that make great memories. I didn't want to be the stereotypical veteran that people see in movies that's, you know, out of his mind and just in the corner always thinking about the war. I didn't want to be that guy, but I knew that it felt like I could see years ago that I was starting to slowly become that guy. And becoming a police officer, I'll be honest, I love my job, but it's not helped. But it has helped me, given me a healthy distraction and a way to avoid my issues and my pain. Because like I said, as a police officer, I can step into your situation and fix you and everything about you and everybody attached to you. But when it comes to my own situation, oh no, we don't talk about that. I don't talk about my struggle and my issues. A year and some change ago, I decided to leave the police department. 2018, I left the police department and I joined the United States Border Patrol. And in that time frame, I don't know what it was, but something in me switched and flipped. And I changed. I don't know what it was, but I stepped out of my comfort zone and I felt like all the parameters of the life I'd built here with the PD and my family, all that was gone. And when that foundation I had built for myself that was healthy was gone, the walls caved in on me from my PTSD. See, I was rated at 30% for PTSD for years. And I thought, you know what? I don't even deserve that probably. But it was January of 2020 when I realized I had a major problem. And see, a lot of police officers, a lot of guys don't want to talk about this, but these are the things we have to talk about. If we want to save our lives of our fellow officers and fellow veterans. I don't know what happened, but my daughter and my son were arguing at our house in Sahuarita, Arizona. And the yelling and the sounds were so loud. I don't know what it was, but something in my mind clicked. And in that moment, I completely shut down mentally and emotionally. When I tell you I shut down mentally and emotionally, I mean I shut down to the point to where I did not talk to my wife or interact with my kids for almost a month. 1 month. I started not sleeping at night. The nightmares became nightly. And I was just a shell of myself. It was like I was living in this fog in my brain and I couldn't shake it. It was like somebody, some spiritual force had my personality, my heart and my soul, my spirit trapped in this cloud and I couldn't shake it. My wife would look at me and just say, "Dexter, talk to me." And I couldn't say anything. My kids would run up to me and hug me and say, "Daddy, we love you." And I couldn't tell them I love them back. I don't know what was wrong with me. I even went as far, I moved myself into the garage of our house. And I stayed in my garage for almost the entire month when I was not working. I would come home from work and I would sleep on the futon in the garage. I had no interaction with my family. And one day, and I got scared because I knew, I was like, what if this never leaves and this is who I am for the rest of my life? This is not who I want to be. This is not who I want my kids to know me as. So I drove to the VA in Tucson. And that's when I realized my first horror story about the VA. I've always heard the horror stories about it, but I've never had a real bad interaction with the VA until this moment. When I checked into the ER and I told them what was going on, I said, "I need help. I am not right. I am not well." And they told me that there's nobody here that can help you. And they sent me away with a bottle of trazodone and a pamphlet. Now, I was not suicidal. Not even close. I've never been to that point, but I just knew in that moment, I was like, I need to help, and there was nobody here to help me. A bottle of trazodone and a pamphlet, call back again. So somebody calls me 3 or 4 days later from the VA, sets up an appointment, and I go and talk to this lady like 2 weeks later. And at this point in time, that fog just, I don't know what it was, just snapped, and I was myself again. It was terrifying. And my poor wife. So lo and behold, we moved back to Louisville June of last year. You know, the riots are going on here, and I'm on the front lines of the protest, doing my thing, enjoying being home, surrounded by my brothers with the LMPD, talking to my friends, and just being around family again. But something was different. I remember when I started back here and I'm on late watch, I would sit in my car during my shift, parked in a place alienated from everybody. And my heart would just start to race and beat. And it would feel like the walls were closing in on me. My anxiety would shoot through the roof. And I would look around and try to figure out what was going on. I felt like there was somebody sneaking up on me, or there was somebody out to get me. And there wasn't. And I tried to figure out what was going on. I didn't know what was going on with me. I just knew something wasn't right. And so I started reaching back out to the VA to get some help. And lo and behold, one day, I'm sitting on my phone looking at Facebook, and I see this thing, an advertisement from this company in North Carolina called Veterans Guardian. And it talks about your VA disability rating, and if you're at a certain rating, they can help you get more of a rating. And me, like I said, for years, I have been the guy that's, I'm okay. I don't need more. I don't want more. But I also knew deep down that what I was getting from the VA was not enough. But like I said, I was too proud, had too much pride to see that, hey, your country used your body physically and mentally to go fight this war. And in the process of fighting the war for the country you love, you became changed and became a different person. You are owed a compensation for your sacrifices to this country. Because, like, let's be honest, there are people who live in this country that get a handout every first of the month without ever having to do anything for it. But you, my fellow veterans, you signed on that dotted line, that blank check that was payable up to your life. It is you, my fellow veterans, who come back from the battlefield changed. Some of you with lost legs, lost limbs, lost eyesight. And the thoughts and memories that come from combat, like seeing your friends die, or just the constant exposure to stress in combat and how it affects your psyche. And I am the type of person, I am skeptical and critical of everything, especially for an organization that asks veterans to pay for their services. Because there are organizations such as the VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, that help veterans with their processes and claims at the VA. But I've also heard the horror stories from those organizations. And so I decided I didn't even really want to get my disability increased. I just wanted to see who this organization was and what they did. So I remember calling Veterans Guardian, and I talked to a guy, I can't remember his name. And I almost hung up immediately, because at first I thought it was a high pressure tactic, to where he was like, "Hey man, what are you rated at?" And I tell him my rating. He was like, "Well, we could probably help you get a better rating, because it sounds like you're having some issues and you're not being properly compensated." You know, and I was like, "You know what? I'm good." I was about to hang up the phone, and he stepped in. He's like, "Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Look, man, you don't have to pay anything to us up front. But if you do receive an increase in your VA disability, all you do is pay us five times whatever that increase is, and you're done." And I felt like that was a high-pressure tactic. Also felt like, because he told me, he was like, "Hey, man, look at this. This is compensation that you get for the rest of your life to take care of your family. Do you not want to take care of your family?" I, like I said, I didn't like that part. But at the same time, that part is what drew me in, because I feel like my children have been robbed of the type of father or person that I could be because of issues with PTSD. So he hit a chord in me, but that chord he struck in me also made me realize how much I wanted to take care of my family. So I sat down with him. Well, not sat down, I talked to him, and he emailed me a list of things I needed to send to them to go and make a new claim with the VA. And so we go through this process, and next you know, they sit me down, and I talk with one of their counselors, I had to pay for the counselor out of pocket. $230, you know. And it was a good session, and I told them everything I was going through. And then after that, they set me up with I sent in the packet that they gave me. And from there, the VA reached out to me and scheduled me a new C&P exam. So I go to the C&P exam, and I tell them everything that's going on with me and how these issues have been affecting me in my everyday life, in my social life, my career. I mean, every facet of my life has been affected the last 2 years by the nightmares, the not sleeping, the anxiety, you know, all this stuff has affected me. You know? And so, lo and behold, last week, I check on my VA rating, and they bumped me to the top of the VA chart. And that just completely changed my life. Not just my life, the life of my family's life for the rest of my life. And you know, I know a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about a group or business or organization that would charge veterans money to help them get the increase that they deserve or to get the benefits that they deserve. I understand that. However, what we must look at is this. As my buddy on the LMPD, Kyle Meredith, said, Dexter, isn't it a shame that this country and politicians will send young men and women to fight in a war, and then when those young men and women come back, the same country that said that they would take care of you, or as Abraham Lincoln said, to care for those who shall bore the battle, that this country does everything to short you and not give you what you deserve. It's a shame that companies like Veterans Guardians have to exist, but they exist for a reason. And because of that, they do a phenomenal job in helping our fellow veterans get what they deserve from our government that tries to short you at every corner stop they can. Yes, you can go to a veteran service organization like the DAV, but let's be honest here. I've heard the horror stories with that too. And, you know, I've heard some guys have had it good and some guys have had it not so good. And this is what I will say. Like I said, I'm a skeptic always, but I went on Facebook, I went to Google reviews, and I looked up Veterans Guardian myself, you know, and there was not, I saw a few negative reviews, but overall, they had a 5-star rating. A 5-star rating from the most critical group of people I've ever known in my life, which is military veterans. To get 5-star ratings from a group of disabled veterans, do you know how good your business must be? And so that is why I am here to plug Veterans Guardian for those who served our country and not receiving the benefits that and the compensation that they deserve. Because let's be honest, we all know, hey, I don't shame anybody that signs on the dotted line, joins the military, whatever branch, and does whatever job. I don't care if you sharpen pencils for the Navy, the Marine Corps, or the Army or the Air Force, it don't matter, you sign. You know. But we all know those few people who go into service and get out real quick and, you know, they break their toe on a PT run and, you know, they make it seem like they were the greatest thing on God's green earth in the military, you know, but this person's rocking around making, you know, 100% disability and it looks like there's nothing wrong with them, you know, and I could be prejudging from the outside. I don't know everything that goes on with everybody, but we all know those people within the veterans community that take advantage of the system. And that is why the system kicks back at us sometimes, because people abuse the system. However, for those of us who really serve, for those of us who were really hurt and changed from our time in service, we deserve to be compensated for that service. And now I'm not telling you to sign up for Veterans Guardians just to get you money, more money in your pocket, just so you can have more money just because. I'm not telling you to get on here so you can get 100% disability just so you don't ever have to work a day again in your life. But let's be honest, after your sacrifice for this country, if that is what you choose to do, so be it. And I support you because you have paid more than enough sacrifice for us and the other generations to come. But I am telling you to go on Veterans Guardian website and apply to get what you deserve. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm still struggling with this myself because I got my increased rating. And the first thing I thought was, when I saw it, was, I don't deserve this. But my wife will tell you otherwise when she has to wake me up out of my sleep sometime, or she tells me, Dexter, you're screaming in your sleep again. You're yelling in your sleep. You know, war changes you. It does. And when you go to war for this country, you should be compensated fairly. And another thing I got to throw in there, let's be honest, y'all. So the wars were, it's been almost 20 years. And I know a lot of us have a lot of feelings about the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the global war on terrorism. Some people feel like it was just politicians doing it for money. And the information we know now, you know, like, could we have avoided these wars? Were we thrown into these wars unnecessarily? Some say yes, some say no. But this is what I would tell you. Regardless of what the politicians did and the leaders of this country did to get us into these wars, I know for a fact, that every man and woman who served in the same wars that I served, who served the last 20 years, signed up out of a dedication and a loyalty to this country. I went to war for the right reasons. Regardless of what the politicians did or what they did to bend the rules to get us into this war to make money, I know why I signed that dotted line. I know why I put my boots in the sand in Iraq. I know why I did it. So do not let crooked politicians detract from your honor. Do not let them steal your honor, because they might have had bad intentions for starting these wars and going into Iraq and Afghanistan. But I know our intentions as the veteran community. We did this out of love. We all remember the day of 9/11, the anger and the strife that caused in our hearts, the need and want to go and defend our country and bring justice to those who killed all of our American brothers and sisters that day. We know why we served. So do not let anyone detract or take away your pride in your service to our country. You deserve to be compensated. And like I said, I am still struggling with this myself, feeling that I am worthy of getting a higher disability rating, feeling that I am not worthy because there are so many others that are worse off than me. But remember, you did your time and you are changed. And Veterans Guardian is here to help you. Yes, you pay, but like I said, you only pay them if you get an increase in your disability. If you don't get an increase in your disability, you don't have to pay them. Like I said, they are a company, and we all know what business is about. Business is about making money and also helping people. And guess what? Veterans Guardian, they want to gain a profit, but they also want you to gain the compensation that you need, the compensation that you desire, the compensation that the government will withhold from you if you do not decide to get up and try to get what you deserve. Because I tell people, yes, the VA has a lot of benefits for veterans, but guess what? The VA is not just going to give you those benefits. The VA is not just going to give you what you need or what you want. You have to get up and go get after it yourself. You shouldn't have to, but that is the way the system is designed. And with companies like Veterans Guardian, they help you navigate that system to get the most benefit out of your service. Like I say, they use your body. You got blown up. You got beat up, stabbed. You know, you suffered a lot during your time in service. Anybody that serves knows what it takes to serve. Our families know what it takes to serve. And we don't just serve alone. When we come back, your family has to deal with everything that happened to you as well. Like I said, we have buried too many of our own fellow veterans and over the years. I have. And I'm tired of it, you know. And I was almost one myself. I remember going down that dark road years ago, man. And I never want to go through that again. But that is why I feel it necessary to help my fellow veterans, my brothers and sister veterans. I love y'all. Listen, if you are not being compensated properly, please go and reach out to Veterans Guardian. Just Google Veterans Guardian. Their company, they are based out of Pinehurst, North Carolina. And like I said, there's no need to feel guilty or feel ashamed for what you did in the service. There's no reason that you should not be given a fair shake by this government and given what they promised to give us. Because like I said, it's the government. I love our country, but our government, that's another story. The government, there's plenty of corruption and there's plenty that goes on. So the government gets over on plenty of people, but do not let them get over on you and what you dedicated and sacrificed to make this country great and keep it great. Remember, we served out of honor. We served for the love of our country. And I hope that those of you out there, put your pride aside and give Veterans Guardian a call. So this is my plug for them. They didn't pay me to do this, man. I'm doing this because, like I say, I want to help my brothers and sisters get what they deserved. And I honestly think that Veterans Guardians is probably one of the better companies out there. It was straightforward and honest. The only downside, I would say, some of the people were hard to get a hold of for the most part, but if they didn't get back with you then, it would be a day or two and you would get back for somebody. So the communication was not as crisp and clear as I like, but guess what? It was okay. It was okay. And so before I go ahead and close this podcast out, you know, I've talked to a few people about this process with Veterans Guardian. And it's funny, you know, I've talked to a couple of my civilian buddies telling them what's going on with me. And the first thing people always say is, hey, congratulations. The email I got from Veterans Guardians even said congratulations. And this is what I'll say. I understand, I'm not mad, but I understand why people say, hey, congratulations, or, you know, they think it's something big, it's wonderful. Hey, you're getting what you deserve. Yes, congratulations, but it's not a congratulation to me. I feel like I deserve it. It's a, hey, this is what you need. This is what we need to give you. Because the congratulations should be for a major accomplishment, you know, and getting the VA disability increase is not a major accomplishment on my end or something I earned, I feel sometimes. Because you're getting that increase because of what you lost. See, people see the money side of a VA disability compensation. All they see is the dollars. But go back to the beginning of this episode when I tell you about my dreams that I had. Go back to this episode where I tell you about holding my child and looking at it like a stranger. Think about your own dreams and your own nightmares that you have. Think about every time you close your eyes, how you might have seen, you know, at night you see your friend who got shot in front of you and killed, or some poor Iraqi child or Afghan child that got blown up and somebody carried them to the base bleeding to death. So I understand the need to congratulate veterans on getting a higher percentage, but that's not, it's nothing to congratulate about. It's like, hey, take this. You earned this. You deserve this. But it's not a congratulations. Because I'll be honest. If I could go to the VA right now and they could fix me and put me back to the old Dexter Pitts, the 2004 version of me, when I was young before war, I would give them back all the money that I have received from them over the last 16 years, just so I could be that guy again. Money is finite. I will get these checks for the rest of my life, but I will also carry with me the memories of Iraq, the memories of my fallen brothers. I will always carry these things with me. And there is no amount of money that the government can truly give you to compensate you for what you lost when you go and fight in a war. Like I say, we do it out of honor. We do it out of love for our country, but it comes at a high price. Freedom comes at such a high price. And those of us who fight in these wars, guess what? We know the price of freedom, and we pay for it dearly when we come home. So please, fellow veteran brothers and sisters, go get what you deserve. Don't let the government get over on you, okay? And to all my friends out there who are not military or veterans, hey, I'm not going to tell you not to say congratulations to us. But like I say, I know it's coming from a good place and you don't mean anything ill by it. but maybe congratulations is probably not the best word. All right, everybody. This is the Iron Pits Podcast, and I'm signing off. So remember, please go and visit Veterans Guardian and talk to a counselor and see if they can help you get what you deserve.